ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi naga ithloka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Kufanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Yeva mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome to another episode of Sebenza Lives Behind the Hustle. I hope you guys are really well. I'm flying a little solo today. I am missing Dorozo, but I have an amazing guest, quite a legend actually, if I say so myself. Luiso, how are you?
Very well, man. How are you?
I'm great. Now, I always say, whenever I have a guest in studio, if someone was born under a rock, or they were born yesterday and they have no cooking clue who you are, how would you best describe Luiso Mkhize?
Okay, so in a quick bite, I am a visual artist specializing in portrait painting in general, comic book illustration, graphic novel illustration, so it's twofold. And that is my profession. I am based in Cape Town, South Africa, born and bred in Butterworth, that is in the Eastern Cape. And I'm also the creator and illustrator of Poesia, I guess. I think it's very hard to count your own accolades, but I'm also the creator and illustrator of Kwezi, which is South Africa's first superhero story. I think that's also quite important to note.
I was about to say, quite the humble way to introduce yourself, because you've paved the way for quite a lot in terms of artists in the country.
Well, yeah, like you said, it's a very humble way of approaching this stuff, because you know you are what you create, but at the same time you can't take all the credit, because you are a result of a lot of influences on yourself as well, artistically and otherwise. So I tend to keep it low key like that.
Now tell me, how did you get into visual art? I mean, I don't imagine it's an easy conversation, or typically we don't experience it as an easy conversation to tell parents or guardians, hey, I'm going into art, I'm going to be a painter, or I'm going to start drawing comics. How do you start the conversation?
Right. I mean, like, look, you're born an artist, right? You're born with the impulse to create something visually, sonically, or otherwise. So it's something I was born with, and therefore like I just like presented that from a very young age. Must have been in kindergarten when my parents were first called into the school to have a look at what I've been doing outside of actually learning in class, I was rather drawing. Luckily for me, my parents were really hot on it almost immediately and started investing time and effort in my budding career from a very young age. I was exposed to art, art festivals. I was exposed to books that would teach me about this profession and where it would take me potentially. So I had a choice. So I had an opportunity to choose the art forms that grabbed me the most. And I mean, my first love was comic books. And you can imagine, I mean, as a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, the first thing that really entertained me and really captured my imagination were cartoons and comic books. So, but living in Butterworth, the extent to which I could be immersed in those worlds was very limited. They did, however, my parents made an effort to put me out there. Fast forward a couple of years, just being an artist that draws in class, draws at home, always drawing rather than playing with friends, etc. Fast forward to 2006, moving to Cape Town and studying graphic design at Cape Peninsula University of Technology. I immediately could tell that being in a bigger city meant bigger opportunities for me and just bigger exposure to what I could possibly become. So my second year, I went out and from a friend's advice, of course, and checked out Super Strikers, having not known that they had their headquarters in Cape Town. I then approached them with my stuff, my stockpile of artworks, dating back at least 5 years. So I had a lot to show. So immediately I got a job as an illustrator for Super Strikers during my second year and onwards. I went on to be head illustrator for Super Strikers. And You know, again, let's fast forward to 2010 when I started my painting career, which also came as a, you know, as the impulse to say, okay, I've got a day job and my 9-to-5 is doing what I've always loved, which is creating comics. But what I didn't maybe foresee was the fact that my mind had expanded so much into what whatever stuff I actually wanted to do as well, which was painting. I remember because my dad is quite a, my dad is quite a classical man, you know, he's a big reader, big intellectual. And so obviously the fine arts were typically going to trickle down into my sensibilities. So when I had the opportunity and at least the maturity to approach the medium with ideas and stuff that, and, you know, tackling issues that I felt as a young adult I was grappling with became the outlet for that. So there was a duality with the sense that comics were, you know, feeding the young boy in me that still was prevalent and still there. And that was great because I had achieved my goal to be a published comic book artist at a very young age. But the opportunity now presented itself that, all right, well, I can paint. I'm not too bad. And then, you know, after a couple of pieces, trying, approaching galleries, I then started really establishing my name around 2011 going forward with just painting. And the, I mean, like, obviously, like I think the encapsulation of all this is now when I look back at it in retrospect, the commonalities was always that I've always wanted to retain or express a certain African aesthetic, an African identity within my art. And that's a sentiment that just grew as I grew. And I felt that it was very important. So just to sort of to catalog my whole experience, it's always been a very diverse, multi-disciplinary type of artistic expression, but with one ideal that sort of centered everything and held it all together.
Do you feel with the issues you tackle through your art, and please do detail if you would like, do you feel that the issues you tackle do reach the audiences you'd like them to reach? I mean, you came from Butterworth, and there was a problem at the time when you were growing up in terms of exposure of art. Is this changing, do you feel, and is your art reaching the audiences it needs to reach?
Well, look, the answer is a very simple yes. But at the same time, I say it with caution. The reason why I do say yes is that we live in the internet of time, right? Internet of times right now, right? So the access to information and what you can do with that information has become so much more frequent. We're constantly sharing information every single day, every single second. So the reach from very early in my career was exponential because of that of this technology that we enjoy now. We're in Skype, right? So it meant that yes, I live in the right time to express my ideas and also have it shared, you know, amongst thousands and thousands, if not millions. So I think I just landed on a very lucky time where being from Butterworth has no bearing over how far a reach my artwork has, you know, can go. It's just a matter of how relevant, I suppose, the art is or to the time, to the sensibilities of people during that time. And, you know, for the most part, luckily for me, I always seemed to be able to manage the public discourse and my own personal, idea over whatever issues we collectively experience. Not that my art always spoke to contemporary issues. For the most part, my art also invokes an idea of the future, or at least like an ambition towards the future, particularly for Africans. So there's that aspect as well.
Now, I want to jump into Kwezi, quite the collaboration, actually, in how it was created. Share with a few people maybe who might not be familiar with how it came to be birthed.
So Kwezi was definitely a collaborative effort. It may have not been the case in the beginning because, you know, like 2013 was a time when I was, again, still working as head illustrator for Super Strikers, but I felt like, number one, I didn't have a title of my own that I could claim as part of South Africa's roster of entertainment and also reading material. And round about the same time, perhaps even, perhaps even earlier into my teens, I'd always wondered, reading Superman and Spider-Man, etc., right, in all of the comic books from the West, was always, when are we having our own comic books or our own superhero comic books in this context? And the question always came unanswered. It seemed no one felt the need or felt like South Africans could have their own superheroes. I don't want to make any speculations, but for some odd reason, we hadn't had any reading material, a superhero story, superhero genre story in comic books or otherwise that actually worked and that was actually there. So I took it. I mean, I was lucky. Again, it's a timing thing in the sense that I'd been working now for a couple of years for Super Strikers as head illustrator. So the understanding of the business of comics in South Africa and how they work and how what works and what doesn't work gave me a framework of how to approach this problem, because it is a creative problem, right? How do you present a South African superhero? And it was a very organic process, very research-based, however, but not as, deep. But also there was, a couple of golden moments. I remember asking my little cousin what he would, what he would do, and he was in matric at the time, right, what he would do if he had superpowers. And he had this funny hairstyle, right, dreadlocks with a fresh fade on the sides, and he had this funky, fashion sense, and he was about the city, he was an urban kid. And obviously, his answer was always going to be, oh, well, I would do this and that, I would get more followers on Twitter, on Instagram, I would do populist stuff, right? I would save people only to take a selfie with them, gain a big following, maybe a couple of endorsement deals here and there. So very self-serving type of first impression.
I was about to say.
Right, very, very, very narcissistic and very, and true to the times, right? And I think that sentiment or that answer would come from many people in different ways, but it would be the same. So that was a golden moment, because I then used him as a case study for creating the character Kwezi. You'll notice that the character himself has got a fresh fade with the dreads on top, and he's, he's a bit loose and a bit cool and a bit, this and that, very narcissistic in the first episodes of the story. So that was the point of departure. However, as the story progressed or as the idea started to manifest, I realized, oh man, this is an opportunity to actually create South Africa's first superhero for real now. Now, what does that mean? It means, can we make it as proudly South African as possible, as unapologetically South African as possible? The answer was, oh well, we can flesh the story out, right? He lives in Gold City, Johannesburg, right? And he has companions that are Zulu, Basotho, and Khoisan, right? And those are just a few of a platitude of character. I mean, a plethora of characters that will start now coming and trickling in. So the idea was to be proudly South African and African as well. So that meant introducing those characters, reimagining our cultures, our traditions in the contemporary world, juxtaposed with the superhero genre was an aha moment, because I never thought of reimagining, for instance, our languages or at least more topically now, just our traditional attire, right? I mean, we'd never imagine that. But with the times and with the rise of concepts like Afrofuturism, etc., the palette was there to experience different aesthetics from all over the world and not just the States, for instance. So the first fans of the comic book were the first to point that out, that they loved the fact that it was so South African, but presented presented in such an international quality level that they really appreciated the fact that they could see themselves in comic books. And look, that was always going to be the nugget, right? That was always going to be the gift about it. It was the fact that our kids no longer have to just be exposed to Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, etc., characters that they can't particularly relate to. But they had in the same shelves, in the same spaces, they had the choice to pick Kwezi, which was a character that looked like them, that spoke like them, and shared the same environment with them. So I feel like what it did for readers was just place them in a world that they otherwise were, in a space that they didn't exist before.
Now, do you feel there's enough respect for artists, be it in the comic space, be it in visual art, wherever you might be showing it? Is there enough respect in terms of what you guys create? Are you getting the money that you deserve for, you know, how it's sold and so forth? Especially for young Black artists.
I suspect that's a very subjective, the answer is always bound to be subjective. It depends how you regard your own, your own practice. It depends on how prolific an artist you are. You see, it's not so well defined what the artist's career can potentially yield for the artist. There's a lot that's depending on that. There's a lot, and artists are very varied in their drives, in where they come from, and what the ambitions are. So it's not so much a matter of are they celebrated or recognized. I think those who push to be recognized, who push to have their voices heard, who push to have, we have artists, contemporaries that are doing exceptionally well the world over, like your Nelson Magamo, your William Kentridge. These are artists, and their profession is artistry, right? Visual arts. So I tend to lean towards figures like that for inspiration, etc. Because my whole thing was that I don't ever want to do anything else than what I do, and that was instilled in me from a very young age by my mother and my father, right? So it's placement, therefore, because of those decisions, very inward, subjective decisions that you charter your own path towards your own success, right? So you can still be an artist that can be super successful, or you can be an artist that gets by, can take care of themselves, etc. It's decision based on a personal level. There is an industry that is bustling right now. The patronage of art in South Africa has not only now been, belonged to a minority, like it may have like 2 decades ago or 3 decades ago, but now where you find in a relatively free country, the patronage has grown that much more. And, luckily for us, we live in a time where, Black people can not only do they make art, but they also buy art. So there's a huge collection of people that exists in South Africa, in the continent, in the diaspora, that see the art that, for instance, I create and find a relative or extreme bond with this work that I do, and it's very sentimental sometimes. So does this affect my career? Yes, it means that I'm exposed to a bigger audience, and the patronage as well. It means that more people are ready and willing and love my work enough to buy it, because there's also that. People may like your work, but does not mean that they're going to necessarily buy it. So that's why it's very important that we detail what the artist's career path looks like, and not say, for instance, I'm an artist, therefore I'm bound to be poor, or I'm an artist, therefore you better buy my art. You know, there's there's a dialogue that you have with people that you're making this art for that exists underneath that membrane. And if your work resonates enough and catches wind enough, then you'll be successful. Then you'll move up the ranks, and then you'll be able to not only be self-sufficient, but also have, you know, instate a value system around your work and the industry as a whole.
Now, where can anyone who's listening actually view some of your pieces, other than a copy of Kwezi? Where can one get themselves some good old Loiso's work?
Okay, so as far as my paintings are concerned, I suppose because I'm based in Cape Town, my artwork is constantly on exhibition at Eclectica Contemporary, that's in Cape Town. However, I do also have artworks, you know, in Johannesburg at the Melrose Gallery, Melrose Art. And, you know, my work moves around. I might be doing an overseas, you know, residency and exhibition very soon, and that's where my work will then, you know, gravitate to as well. So apart from those two locations right now, there is obviously social media, which is, I mean, like for people that are living in the now and understand the dynamics of the now and the Internet of Things, that is also gallery space. That is also showcasing space where you can sell your art. I mean, for a very long time, I was very sufficient at just being an independent artist without any gallery, you know, affiliations. So, that's where the people can find my work. However, the Kwezi comic book, which is published nationwide, can be, you know, people can get the comic books from episode 1 to 12 at Exclusive Books, at Bargain Books, and very soon, hopefully, we'll be entering larger retail stores like your Pick and Pay, your ShopRite, because obviously there's the accessibility question that needs to be, you know, answered.
But I do believe some of your artworks are still at the Melrose Arch, and I'm definitely going to take myself a trip that side as well. Thank you so much again for joining us, Loiso.
Thank you. And thank you for the great questions, man. Much appreciated.
Enjoy your day.